Good morning. It's good to see you today. If you would, turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5. And as you're turning there, let me just share with you a couple quick thoughts. I hope that you're ready for Thanksgiving this week. Amen. And we got a lot of work to do. A lot of turkey to eat, a lot of ham, you know. And so I hope that you're ready for that. But let me just say this. Just a couple things that I feel like I want to share with you this morning. Number one, we had three young people come to know Jesus Christ through our neighborhood Bible clubs. Cheryl Roy is a part of that, and several of you here today. Man, isn't that awesome when people come to know Jesus Christ and when our church family are out being Jesus, being the hands and feet of Jesus in our neighborhoods and in our schools? And I just want to thank God for that. And then I just want to say, too, I'm super humbled just to be a part of the church here. And my wife and I, we've now been here for a little over a year, and we're starting to more and more every week to feel more like this is home. And we're feeling this is our church family. And even this morning, just sitting in Sunday school class and listening to the hearts and the worries and the fears and the struggles of those that we're trying to do life with is just absolutely incredible. But what I'm most excited about and most humbled to share with you today is I just want to, as a pastor, say thank you. This past week, man, we had a slew of activity happening at our church. Student midweek, the harvest feast, the ladies refresher. This afternoon, we're going to be getting decorations out of the barn. And man, our church absolutely stepped up in every way and served at a very high level with a lot of excellence. And I want to say thank you for that. And man, yeah, go ahead and give God the praise and the glory for that. And I'm just so thankful for how many people in our church just on a weekly basis, not wanting credit, not wanting to be on the platform, not even needing the recognition, but just, man, I love God. I love people. I love that we can reach out to our community. And we had so many families from Promise that were here. And man, just what an incredible week of serving and seeing God do some incredible things. And so just excited for all that God is doing. So let's jump into our text today, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read one verse. And the Bible says in verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him, for he careth for you. You ever worry? You ever worry? You ever get overwhelmed? Is anxiety a problem for you? Or maybe you're one of those folks that you're just cool as a cucumber. Or maybe you're constantly fretting and wringing your hands. I'm so glad this morning that the Word of God speaks to our deepest issues. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, the Word of God is inspired. The word inspired means that God breathed out His Word. And so, you know, the book that you hold in your hands actually comes from the very breath of God. And so God spoke the word to us, and this word, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, for the word of God is inspired, and it's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for instruction in righteousness, for correction, that the man of God might be, or the woman of God might be, perfectly and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so God wants to raise us up to be mature followers of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be whole. And because of sin and the broken world in which we live, we often live what I would call fractured lives. We live with fear. We live with anxiety. We live with stress. We live overwhelmed. And yet the Word of God speaks to the very issues that we face on an everyday basis. And not only does it speak to it, but it gives us hope. That we can change, that we can be at peace, that we can have shalom, that things can be right in our heart and in our world. I want you to know this morning, God is concerned about your emotional and your mental health. It's common for us to struggle with trusting God, and it's certainly common for most of us in this room today to struggle with some fear or some worry at some level. Just all cards on the table here, and I've shared a little bit of this in the past, but you know, anxiety is something I've struggled with for quite some time. In fact, it snuck up on me in my mid-30s. You know, I've just got done building, I planted a church at the age of 28. We took out a $1.9 million loan, and I woke up a few days after we'd signed the papers on that, and I'm like, where are we going to get $11,000 a month from? And why did the bank think we could pay for this? And it was before the recession, and they were just handing out money, making it rain. And so we got a loan, and then some things happened in the church, and we experienced some troubled times. And then my wife and I experienced some hurts in the ministry, and it revealed some areas of family origin and some areas vertically in my relationship with God that I needed to address. And so in my mid-30s, I remember vividly coming home from my therapist in Chicago, and after I got in a meeting with her, I got on the train, and I was texting my wife, and I think I might have been in the, because some of the trains there, they have what's called silent cars, and you're not allowed to talk on the phone in the silent cars, you know? And so I was texting her. I said, man, I'm not feeling so good. And I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And I was like, babe, I'm having really, really bad chest pains right now. I'm like, I'm in my 30s, you know? And so I'm texting her, and then my phone dies. And so, you know, later that day, she's like, I thought you died on the train. And so, you know, I get off the train, and I go to a friend of mine, Dr. He was a cardiologist in our church. I went over to Mike's house, and I was in a bad way. I was overworking. I was stressed out. I wasn't trusting God with my life. And he said, dude, you're burnt out. And you're having a panic attack right now. He's sitting there checking my pulse. He's like, you're having a panic attack. And I hear people say from time to time, man, I'm having an emotional breakdown. No, your emotions are doing what a sovereign God designed them to do. See, our emotions tell us something about ourselves. And our emotions tell us something about our relationship with God. Many of us struggle with anxiety. It's prevalent in our society. There's so many triggers with television, social media, pressures from work. These kids today that are in middle school and high school stressing out over their grades and scholarships and performing and the pressures that we as parents put on them and the pressures of society and social media, man, I feel for our children. Kids going to school, living up to perceived and often created expectations that we set. I'd imagine this is a very practical subject for every single person in this room. Amen? Fortunately, the Bible speaks to this issue in very clear terms in several places. And Peter addresses it head on. He shows us how to stand firm in the midst of our own anxiety and to be a witness of the gospel in a chaotic world. And so the big idea today is this. And I hope, my prayer, my trust is this brings you hope. Because your worry and your fear and your stress and in this moment of overwhelming anxiety is no match for God's plan and passion for you in your life. It's no match. God's plan and God's passion for you can be the very thing that you need to overcome the anxiety and the fear and the worry and the stress that you're facing in your life right now. And so the next time you're struggling with the paralyzing effects of anxiety, ask yourself the question, am I casting my care on Jesus? Am I casting my care on Jesus? And I'm thankful that the Bible was written by men that were broken. Peter, I mean, we've talked about Peter the last several weeks. He was a messed up dude. I mean, he did some pretty crazy things, and yet God loved him, redeemed him, rescued him, restored him, and transformed his heart with the gospel. Many years later, Peter is now showing us the pathway to living a life that's free from the bondage of fear and anxiety. So Peter explains how we can claim this truth, and I want to begin this morning with the problem of anxiety. He says in this passage of Scripture, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. But what exactly are we talking about when we think of the word anxiety? Fear, worry, stress, all of these things threaten the best for your life. It's a problem. We all struggle with it to some degree or another. Anxiety is common, and most of us have experienced fear and worry at one point or another. And for some, it's a recurring theme. Listen, it's a recurring theme in our hearts and our lives. Listen, it controls us. Many of us are controlled by anxiety. Many of us are controlled by fear and worry. And we're going to kind of dig into this in just a moment, but we're controlled by that. But I want you to notice this. Wherever you can detect anxiety, wherever you find anxiety and worry in your heart, you can almost always trace it back to a theme of control. There is something in my life that I want to control. I want the outcome to be this way. I want my spouse to be this way. And when they're not, or the expectation is not met, I therefore then get worried and stressed and overwhelmed. And so you can detect this theme of control. And it's a, listen to this, and you may jot this down. It's a world that we control. It's a world we control. Now, anxiety disorders anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States affecting, listen to this, 40 million adults ages 18 and up. 25% of all teens and 30% of all teen girls struggle with anxiety. Boy, that ought to just speak to our hearts this morning. 30% of the young women that go to our church, our students, are struggling with some form of anxiety. God designed our emotions. Anxiety is real. And when you feel worry and stress or depression, your emotions are doing what God designed them to do. It's almost like you're driving down the road and the check engine light comes on. And so you want to look under the hood. You want to know what's going on, that this vehicle is not operating in the way in which it was designed. And so when we feel despair and when we feel stress and when we feel worry, these are emotions telling us that vertically we need to consider something that God might want to show us or an area that he might want us to grow in. Well, not always, but often our anxiety can be traced to certain areas of pride. Anxiety can be traced to areas of self-sovereignty. I want control of my life. And honestly, we often foolishly think that we can do a better job with our life than God can. We would never say that out loud. We would never say that verbally. But when we try to take control of our life and when we try to manipulate the outcome that we want, we're saying to God, I can do better than you because I want this outcome and I want it to be this way. And when it's not, we live stress-filled, overwhelmed lives. And so what we do is we pretend to be something outwardly when inwardly we're falling apart. And so let me just share with you and unpack a couple of ways in which we struggle with anxiety and some of the causes that might cause you to experience fear, worry, and anxiety in your heart and in your life. And one is this, is people-pleasing. And I mean, the holidays are awesome about this. My wife and I, we joke over the years, and her family, you know, when we lived in Chicago, she has four sisters. They're all 1 year apart, 11 grandkids when they all come together. And the crazy thing is, and we pastored a church for so long, and oftentimes, you know, at Christmas, people would buy us gifts. Her response was, well, then we now have to give them a gift. And my response is like, no, we need to learn how to receive some gifts from time to time, right? Because this is a perpetual, right, amen? That Christmas list gets longer and longer. And I'm not cheap. I'm not trying to be, you know, weird about that or anything. But it's that idea. It's like, well, they can't give me a gift because then I got to give them a gift. And if I don't give them a gift, then how do I look? Or here's another thing. At Christmas time, it would always be like, hey, you know, you need to be at this family event. You need it. And I was like, no, I need to do what's best for our family, right? And so we say yes to all these different things going on in our life, maybe at work or at school or even in the church. And so we get overrun with our life because we don't know how to say no, because we care too much about what other people think about us. Because if we say no, well, I'm not a good Christian, or I don't love my family, and on and on and on you could go with people pleasing. And then the other one is perfectionism. We strive to make sure that everything is right all of the time. The house, our clothes, our appearance, our work, our projects, and our identity is only secure as long as everyone around us thinks that we're nailing it, that we got it all together. And then protection. Now, this is the one for parents. Overprotection, right? We try to protect our children from every hurt and every illness and every financial and safety issue. I'm not talking about neglect. I remember one time in Chicago, we were out inviting people to one of our Christmas services, and I'm just walking through one of our subdivisions, and there, no lie, man, 3-year-old kid just walking the street, like literally walking the street with no parent in sight. That's neglect, right? That's not being a good parent. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about overprotecting. I'm talking about living in constant fear of danger or hurt that isn't necessarily even imminent. And so are there areas of your life that you overprotect? You find yourself getting anxious and fearful when you know ultimately that you shouldn't be this worried. Here's another one, performance and purpose. If you're like me, there's a temptation to find your purpose in what you do and what you've accomplished, and we must work to focus on our primary calling, which is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Before I'm anything else, I'm first and foremost a follower of Jesus Christ. But so often, we're afraid of failing. We're afraid of letting other people down, and so we often perform and overwork and overcommit And that causes us to be super anxious and stressed out. Now, the danger to all this worry is the potential to self-medicate or self-sabotage. And we do this. We fail to deal biblically with worry. And we fall into dangerous coping mechanisms that make things worse. Overdrinking, doing drugs, entertainment. We don't deal with our worry. We don't deal with our stress. What we do is we click on Netflix and we binge watch Netflix for hours at a time while eating Nutty Bars. Just confessing my sin to the church today. And so we self-medicate with entertainment. We try to check out, watch our stories. Because if other people's lives on TV are more messed up than ours, then maybe we're not as bad. We get into porn or binge eating food. And listen, God hasn't called me to control. He called me to trust Him to care for me. Anxiety can cause us to spiral into despair, and it can cause you not to think. You know that? Anxiety can cause you not to think straight. It can cause you to do some really foolish things. And that's why when we take these verses and we proof text them and we pull them out of context and we don't use them in the greater context of 1 Peter, we miss out on the depth and the richness of its meaning. And in this text, Peter says, cast all your care on Jesus because He cares for you. And in the next verse, he says, now be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the reality is that the danger to worry is that it leaves an open door for the enemy to exploit you and to cause you to sin in ways in which you would otherwise not sin because you're not thinking straight. You're not thinking biblically. You're not running your thoughts and your worries and your fears and your stresses through the grid of the Word of God. And your heart and your mind is not anchored to the absolute truth of the Word of God that never, ever changes. And so what do? We open the door for the enemy to come in and destroy our soul. Well, let's talk about not just the problem of anxiety, but let's talk about the principle of casting. Cast means to throw. It's like I got a ball, a baseball, and I'm going to take it and I'm going to throw it as far away from me as I can. I'm going to get rid of this thing. Peter says, man, cast it. Throw it. It means throwing a pitch to get rid of it. It means, this is what the word means. It means to throw something onto something. This is what it means. It's like taking a blanket and throwing a blanket on a donkey. You're going to put it on it. And so what we do is we take our worries and we place them on the back of Jesus Christ. He carries it for us. Peter encourages us all to cast our care, our worry, anxiety on God, because every single worry and every single fear that we throw upon God, trusting Him with the outcome, then listen, isn't that the essence of faith? Isn't that the essence of faith? God, I mean, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to feel about this. I don't know how to navigate this moment without You. And so I cast it on Him. And that's the essence of faith. That's the essence of dependence. It's the essence of trusting God. So when we say to you, have faith in God, it's not some Christian cliche and platitude that doesn't find its meaning in the truth and the veracity of the Word of God. We can throw our cares. We can throw our fears and our worries and our stress on the rock solid foundation that is Jesus Christ. We can trust Him and we can find that He will always deliver on His word and His promises to us. At some level, though, you know, we got to make the choice to do something with our fear, our worry, and our anxiety. We got to identify our fears. And you, this morning, I would encourage you this morning, write them down. Write them down and say them out loud. One of the reasons that I think sometimes we don't grow is we don't live in community with each other. This morning we had a sweet moment in our life group where people just started confessing struggles that they're having. A lot of people crying this morning, crying tears of joy, tears of struggle. And when we can come alongside of each other as brothers and sisters of Christ and stop pretending that we got it all together, man, there's real hope. There's hope that we can actually change because there's other people in the same boat that are struggling with the same things. I want you to note this today, and this isn't in the notes, but I wouldn't mind if you wrote it down, and that is this. Feelings are not facts. Feelings are not facts, but they should point us to a faithful God. Feelings aren't facts, but they can and should point us to a faithful God. Maybe there's a fear that God's revealed to you and you need to cast it on Him. We find hope and we cast our fear on the character of God and God alone. And it's difficult. Listen, I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do. If I'm being honest with you, I kind of tell you my story and you get the microwave version of that. And I was burnt out. It took me a year to get to 80% emotionally and mentally again. It took me a year to get back physically to where I had been in the past. And for quite some time, I would show up on church on Sunday mornings, and some of you laugh at me, but I do get like anxious in certain social settings. And sometimes I'm okay, and sometimes I can't explain it. This week, I texted my wife, and I'm feeling overwhelmed this week, and I just thought, I kind of laughed about it, because I'm like, I guess I'm preaching on anxiety. God wants me to experience a little bit of stress this week. You know? It just felt that way, right? You know? And so, I mean, I still struggle with this thing. And I remember going to church on Sunday morning, and I would have, you know, heart palpitations, and my chest would hurt, and I couldn't breathe. And I'd stay in my office all the way up until the time that I had to preach, and then as soon as church was over, I'd sneak back into my office and hide because I couldn't talk to anyone because it was just so overwhelming. I want to tell you, this isn't easy. It's difficult to place your anxiety and your concern on God. It's difficult, but yet it can be done. One of the hardest things to do is to work through your own fear, to work through your own anxiety. And here's what we think. This is what we think we should do. I'm going to avoid everything in my life that would cause me fear. Now, look, man, I'm not saying to, like, jump into a cage with a bunch of tarantulas, right? Like, if that's a fear, like, that's a legit fear. Don't do that. Amen? Amen? That's why we're not free will Baptists and we don't wash feet and handle snakes. You want to put the fear of God in somebody, you start handling some snakes. You get a rattlesnake up in here and it's, oh, holy, holy Lord. You know, it's getting crazy up in here. There's some legit fears, like, don't be dumb, right? I'm not going to go to the zoo and put my head in the lion thing. Like, hey, come here, lion. I can do all things through Jesus. No, you can't. It's not what we're talking about. But here's what we do. We avoid our fears. We avoid things that we think are going to make us feel lucky. We avoid things that are going to make us feel stressed out. And listen, the absence of those things that are causing you to fear are not going to help you grow. Sometimes you need to sit in that emotion. Sometimes you need to sit in that moment and experience the power and the grace of God to transform your heart to be a person of faith that stands firm in a chaotic world. Avoidance doesn't help you. Christians are to cast all their discontent, their discouragement, their depression, and their despair on the Lord and trust Him, knowing that He knows what He is doing in their life. We can cast our care on Him. You know why? Because of the power of compassion. He cares for you. He cares for you. I can't even put hood into words this morning how much God loves you. I can't describe the infinite, immeasurable love that God has for you. But I know He loves you. And I know that He loves me. And no matter how much you struggle, lack faith, and you worry, or you're afraid that God, that you don't know what's going on. Listen to this. I want you to know this. God isn't going anywhere. And some of us, and I do, man, I struggle with abandonment issues, legit. Like, I'm always afraid people are going to abandon me. I don't know why. When I find a friend, like someone that, like, is my ride or die, like, you know, like Fast and Furious, Paul Walker and Dominic, you know what I'm saying? Amen, ride or die. When I find a friend like that, like, I lock it in, man, because I'm afraid, like, people are only going to like me for me being a pastor or me being this or me doing this. And so we have these fears. But here's the reality. I've had people come and go in my life. But you know, one who hasn't is Jesus. He ain't going anywhere. He's always going to be present with you in every moment of every single fear and every single worry. He loves you. And when you are faithful, He is faithful. He's so full of love and compassion, He'll never desert those who follow Him. And I want you to notice this morning, if His power hasn't kept something from happening to you, His wisdom, listen to this, if His power hasn't kept something from happening to you, his power and in his wisdom, he has a purpose in it, and his love will strengthen you through it to stand firm. We sat with Julie Kroger this week, and her husband died of ALS, and what a horrible disease to die of. And it's like, man, how could God allow that to happen to such a wonderful couple? But in his wisdom, God has a purpose in that. God has a purpose in that. Just because you're broken doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Just because you're struggling with your faith. And listen, I'm a pastor and I have doubts. I can't tell you how many times I've woken up in 2 or 3 in the morning and just opened my eyes and said, God, are you real? Like, is this legit, man? Am I wasting my time with these folks? Because they can be a little crazy sometimes. I mean, really? We have them. And because your faith is wavering doesn't mean he doesn't care for you. The Bible's filled with people who struggle to trust God. Gideon, David, Peter, doubting Thomas. Could you imagine being Thomas? Well, I ain't going to believe unless I put my fingers in his hands and his side. And Jesus just walks through a wall and says, go and do it, Thomas. I mean, he walked with Christ. He saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. Why couldn't he come back from the dead? We all have doubts. The Bible is filled with people who struggle to trust God, and yet he loved them and he invited them. He just invites them to trust him. Hey, just trust me again and again. Just write this down. You don't get one shot at this. You don't just get a shot at this. It's not a pass or fail. We're growing. The love of God is powerful. He loves his children. His word teaches us that he'll never leave us and never forsake us. In every fear, he is near. And the gospel teaches us that in Christ, I am loved eternally and protected from God's wrath because I was loved by a good and just God. And my fears should dissipate when I consider the lengths that God has gone to save me. And now as I follow him, he's always with me. He's always with me. He's intimately involved in my life. And if God's love is anything, it's never ending. Amen? If God's love is anything, it's never ending. It's all encompassing. It's unconditional. It's sacrificial. And if your faith is wavering, it might be because you've lost sight of Jesus' immeasurable love for you. The promise of God's love gives us confidence that we can trust him. I don't have to question his love. All I have to do, look at this. I don't have to question God's love. And when I'm afraid, and when I'm anxious, and when I want acceptance from others, you know, at some degree or another, all I have to do is look around and see his blessing and protection and his goodness in my life. And fear and worry and stress, all it does is blind me to the goodness of a faithful God. It blinds me to the goodness of a faithful God. And so when things get really bad, and they do, amen? Sometimes things get really bad in our lives, don't they? We're not talking about garden everyday stress. Sometimes they just get, life gets messed up. When it gets really messed up, when it gets really bad, I just remind myself of his love on the cross. Man, this life is messed up. Man, there are things in life that I can't control. There is a day that I will slip into eternity. There will be a day that I fall ill and I will not recover from that. There'll be a day that happens to my wife. There'll be a day that happens to my kids or my grandkids. And that's something I cannot fix. But when I look at the cross and I see his immeasurable love for me, I know that there is a hope that is never ending. And it's not in this life, but it's in the life to come. So my fear and my worry dissipates at the sight of the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, God bankrupted heaven in order to purchase my salvation, to give me hope, to secure my eternity in heaven with him. He bankrupted heaven by sending his only begotten son that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And though I may fall ill, and though I may lose every amount of wealth that I have in this world, and though every friend abandon me one day, sooner than I think, I'm going to step into eternity and be more alive than I've ever been in my entire life. All because of the cross of Jesus Christ. This is the clearest demonstration of God's love for us. There's no need to worry or be afraid because he took care of our greatest need and problem, and that was our sin. And if God can take care of our sin, certainly he can help us in our sanctification, our growth in trusting him with our fears and our worries and our stress. So dealing with everyday issues isn't causing him to fret or And so we can trust Him moment by moment and His care for you, just like the day you got saved. Now, I want to say this again. Just so this doesn't sound like some Christian cliche or some platitude, I want to share with you this morning some rhythms. I'm big on this. Things that I do when I feel overwhelmed. Tools, not rules. Tools in my toolbox that help me when I feel stressed and overwhelmed, when I get afraid, when I get shortness of breath, or when I find myself in a situation that I'm very uncomfortable in. Here's some things that I do. Because here's the reality. We must become a people that govern our life by the Word of God. We have to. Because if this is true, and what we're doing here this morning, it ought to make sense in our everyday lives. It ought to be able to play out. And so often we allow our feelings, and I know, man, look, I grew up in a generation where you were a weirdo if you went to see a shrink. Right? How many know what I'm talking about? Oh, they're a quack. Why are they going to go talk to a shrink? I grew up in that. I'm not that far removed from that. And I'm a big believer in getting help and dealing with emotional health and mental health. And we've even written things into our policy here at the church for our staff that if we have a staff member struggling in some way, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, or struggling with some sin, we're gonna help pay for them to get counseling. I'm thankful for an HR team and a finance team that said, hey, we're going to invest in our staff because they're broken too. Trust me, they are. I work with them, right? I'm kidding. Yeah, here's the thing. Govern your life by the Word of God. Stop allowing your feelings to be your truth. Amen? For some of you this morning, your feelings are your truth. Let the Word of God be your truth. Remember, feelings aren't facts, but they point us to a faithful God. And God gives us absolute truth so that we can anchor our hearts and our lives to something that never changes. Something that never changes and allows us to stand firm when we worry. So what do we do? What are some things that we can do? Now, I remember hearing this a few years ago, and I thought, man, this is kind of a harsh statement. And I haven't used it in some time because for a while there, I thought, man, this is like harsh. It would sound harsh to the younger generation. And that is this. And I think it was A.W. Tozer that wrote this. A.W. Tozer said years ago, anxiety is just a mild form of atheism. That sounds harsh, amen, doesn't it? So you're telling me I don't believe in God? Here's what I would say to you. You are not believing God in that moment because you are believing your feelings are truth. You're believing that your feelings are reality. You're believing that you are in control and that you have some ability to control the outcome of your life when in reality, you don't control anything. And that's not fatalism. That's just trusting in a sovereign God. And so in every moment of every day, we are to walk in complete dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ and on the hope of the gospel. And we forget that. And that's one of the things that we want to do here at Southgate in the years to come as we grow old together. And that is this, is to go deeper into the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because some of you got the gospel down like, hey man, ABC, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And see, I've confessed Him as Lord. But that's just the diving board to get into the pool to swim in the reality of and the depth of the gospel. Because the same way that you came to Christ at salvation is the same way that you daily deal with your struggles to be the person that God has called you to be. Listen, man, when I got saved, I was broken and needy and desperate. And like the old hymn writer said on the song Rock of Ages, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross I what? I cling. So even on my best day, I still need the cross. I still need the grace of Jesus Christ, and I still need the gospel message of Jesus. And we live with a gospel amnesia, forgetting the reality of God's love for us, God's never-ending, all-compassing love for us. So what are some things that we could do practically that would help us move through moments of anxiety, move through moments of stress and fret and worry? Number one, pray. That sounds just so cliche. But God says to pray. He says to pray. He says in Philippians chapter 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known unto God. And then he caps it off with thanksgiving. Be thankful. If anxiety and fear and worry is intrinsically selfish, and it's intrinsically about self-sovereignty, wouldn't it make sense to position your heart to a place of dependence and gratitude and seeing those come together? So we pray. And I'm going to tell you, there's times where I've been so stressed out and so anxious, I didn't even know what to pray. And then I remembered Romans 8, where it says that there are times where we don't know what to pray, but Christ is making intercession for us. And then I'm like, God, I don't know what to pray, but I'm freaking out right now. And I just need you. I need you right now in this moment. So oftentimes I'll pray a little prayer like this. Lord, I'm worried and I'm afraid and anxious. And in this moment, I need you to protect me. Please, Lord, calm my fear and help me trust you in this moment. And Lord, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So I pray. And sometimes it's a prayer like that. And sometimes it's, Lord, I'm freaking out and I need your help right now. And that's it. I need your help. When my kids are afraid, you know what they do? They say, Daddy! And that's about all they can get out. Why would it be any different for us? Sometimes we need to cry out, Abba, Father. God, I need you right now in this moment because I'm feeling afraid and I don't know what to do. And then quote scripture to yourself. Psalm 119 says, and I love, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Thy word I've stored it up that I might not sin against you. Quote scripture to yourself. One of my favorite verses on anxiety is this. It's so small and so sweet, so powerful. Psalm 56:3 says, when I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in you. When I'm afraid, God, I don't know what to do right now, but I'm going to trust you. When I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in you. So I quote scripture to myself. I quote Job 23:10. He knows the way that I take, and when he tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I think of 1 John 4:18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love, mature love, casts out all fear. I can trust God because he loves me, and there's a confidence in that relationship with him. So I just go to quoting the word. You know why? Because we let our feelings like a train leave the station and go to a destination that we don't want to go to. And you know what the word of God, having it in my heart, does for me? The word of God allows me to take captive of every thought. And it allows me to bring every thought and every feeling and every emotion into the obedience of Jesus Christ, which means this, that I bring my feelings and I allow my reality to become defined by and governed by the word of God. Because what I'm feeling isn't always truth. It's not always reality. So I bring it under the authority of the word of God. Make sure you're replacing your thoughts with trust in God's word. And then here's another one, focus and serve today. Focus and serve, man. And I love this verse, commit your work. The King James says it this way, commit your thoughts to the Lord and your plans will be established. I remember several years ago, I was stressed, man. I was stressed. And I'd be in the office, didn't know what to do. You know what I'd do? I'd go out and just, I literally would leave my office and I'd go to town and just start knocking doors. I'd just knock on doors and start inviting people to church. You know why? Because I know one thing that God called me to do, and that's to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. And then I'd get on the phone and I'd start calling the widows in the church. And I remember calling Beverly Kovar before she passed away. And I said, Beverly, how are you doing? Pastor, I can't tell you how many times I called that dear old woman. And she said, you know, I was just sitting here reading my Bible praying for you, Pastor. Are you doing okay? And I just want to say to our saints, never forget to pray for your staff. Never forget to pray for the pastor. They have marriage problems. They have kid problems. They have people problems in their life too. Pray. But go do something because fear and anxiety and worry is intrinsically about you. It's about what you want. It's about what you desire. When you take the focus off of you and you put it on someone else, oh man, those burdens are lifted. Then the last one is this, and this is the hardest one for me, and I'll admit it. Rest. Rest. Rest in God's promise. Leave the outcome up to God. Pull away and unplug. Rest, listen to this, demonstrates that we can trust God and that our life is in his capable hands. You might pray for me that we together would grow in this area because God is at work. Listen, God's at work even when we're on Sabbath. The reason that God gave us Sabbath is so that we would take a day to rest and enjoy God's creation, God's gifts, and God's blessings in our life. So when we're at rest, God is at work. God is working all things together for good, for the outcome that is best for you. And you can trust that. So this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I wonder how many of us would be honest enough with God to say, you know what, man, I struggle with some fears. I struggle with some worries. I struggle with some insecurities and control issues in my life. And on the inside, I'm falling apart. And on the outside, I'm playing the game, and I'm pretending, and I'm acting like everything is okay. But on the inside, my soul is weak, and it's anemic, and it's rotting from me trying to control my life. And it doesn't matter if you're 8 years old today or if you're 80. If you're drawing breath from a good God this morning, He wants to speak to your heart. He wants you to give the outcome of your life. So we could trust Him with our salvation, but we don't trust Him with our life. And He wants you to do that this morning. And I wonder how many of you just be honest enough with God to say, that is me. That is me. I'm a people-pleasing, performing person that needs to find His purpose in the will of God, trusting Him with the outcome of my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many of you say to me this morning, Pastor, I know for certain that I'm a follower of Jesus. When you talked about the cross this morning and you talked about what it meant to know God and to be forgiven of sin and know that heaven is my home, I know what that means. Would you lift your hand and just give testimony of that today? Amen. Now, how many of you would be here this morning and say, Pastor, I'm not certain that I know Jesus as my Savior? Is there anyone that's like that that's here today? You say, man, I don't know for certain that Jesus Christ is the Savior of my life. Would you pray for me? Would you just let me pray over you and with you? I don't want to embarrass you or anything today. Amen. Now, how many of you would say to me, Pastor, I'm struggling with a little bit of the stress and worry and anxiety. I'm really struggling with this. And I'm just going to be honest, and I want to lift my hand and ask you just to pray for me today. Would you lift your hand and just put them up there? Hold them up. The first part of really growing is just admitting, like, I struggle with this. Father in heaven, you see the hands of these dear folks today. God, we live in a broken world. And one day, you're going to reconcile all things to yourself, and you're going to make all things new. But in the meantime, would you help us to get to the place where we trust you? Where we commend our life to you. Where we allow you to be the Lord of our life. Not just in word, but in reality. And I pray for this dear church today. Many of us are just honest. We're struggling with our faith. We're struggling to trust God. We're struggling to walk in this truth. We're struggling to discern why we feel the way that we feel. Because we know there has to be a better way. So God, I just pray over this congregation today. I pray over these dear folks. And I pray that they would respond in accordance to your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?